Chapter 42. How to resist the devil when he tries to ensnare us by an indiscreet zeal.
When the devil, crafty as he is, observes that we are walking straight forward in the path of holiness with lively and well-regulated desires, and that he cannot draw us aside by open allurements, he transforms himself into an angel of light, and by friendly suggestions, quotations from Scripture, and examples of the saints, importunately urges us to aspire indiscreetly to the height of perfection, that he may presently cause us to fall headlong from it. With this in view, he excites us to chastise the body with great harshness, with scourges, fasts, haircloths, and other similar mortifications, that he may either tempt us to pride by thinking we are doing great things, as is especially the case with women, or that he may undermine our health, and so unfit us for doing good works, or else that spiritual exercises may become irksome and distasteful to us through pain and over-fatigue. And thus by degrees we grow lukewarm in the way of godliness, and at last rush with greater avidity than before to the delights and pleasures of the world. With many this has been the case. They, having been led on by a presumptuous spirit and by the impulses of an indiscreet zeal, have, in their excessive outward austerities, gone beyond the measure of their own strength, and so have perished in their own inventions, and have become the sport of malicious fiends. This would never have happened if they had laid to heart what we have been saying and considering, which is that painful acts of this sort, however praiseworthy and profitable to those whose bodily strength and lowliness of spirit are equal to them, must yet ever be limited by the requirements of each man's constitution and temperament. And if you cannot imitate the saints in their austerities, you may find other features in their character which you can copy, by strong and effectual desires and fervent prayers, aspiring after the most glorious crowns of Christ's true soldiers, by despising as they did the whole world and themselves also, by giving themselves up to silence and solitude, by humility and gentleness towards all men, by patience under wrongs and kindness to those who treated them ill, by watchfulness against even the smallest fault, for this is more pleasing to God than all bodily austerities. I counsel you then to be sparing in the use of such, so as to be able, if needs be, to increase your mortification, rather than to run the risk of having to give them up altogether because of excesses. I give you this advice, being persuaded that you are not likely to fall into the error of some who, though they pass for spiritual persons in the world, yet are they deluded and led astray by their deceitful nature into over-carefulness about the preservation of their bodily health. So jealous and anxious over it are they, that for the most trifling matter they live in fear and dread of losing it. There is nothing they think about more, or are more ready to speak of, than the management of their bodily health. Hence they are also planning how to procure food suited rather to their taste than to their digestion, which latter has often been impaired by their indulgence in delicacies. And although this is done under the pretext of being able to serve God better, it is but a vain attempt to unite two deadly foes, the spirit and the flesh, an attempt which results in benefiting neither and in injuring both, for this same over-carefulness impairs the health of the one and the devotion of the other. A certain degree of liberty in these matters is safer and more profitable as a rule, yet it must be accompanied by the discretion of which I have been speaking, and have regard to the differences of constitution and spiritual state, which cannot be subjected to a uniform rule. Further than this, I would add that not only in outward things, but also in the pursuit of inward holiness, we should proceed with moderation, as has been shown above, as to the gradual attainment of virtues. Chapter 43. Of the power of our evil inclinations, and of the way the devil tempts us to form rash judgments of our neighbor, and how to resist him. From the above-named vice of self-esteem and self-conceit arises another most hurtful, namely the practice of rashly judging our neighbor, which leads us to disparage, despise, and lower him. As this fault springs from pride and evil inclination, so is it thereby willingly cherished and fomented, and our pride increases as the fault increases, and insensibly flatters and deceives us. For the more we presume to exalt ourselves, so much the more do we in our opinion depreciate others, and imagine that we are free from those imperfections which we make ourselves believe we see in them. And the crafty devil, who sees this most evil disposition in us, stands ever on the watch to open our eyes and make us quick-sighted to detect, examine, and exaggerate the deficiencies of others. The careless do not believe or imagine how busy he is in impressing on our minds the little failings of this or that person, when he cannot bring before us great faults. Seeing then that he is so intent on our destruction, let us be watchful lest we fall into his snares. And as soon as he sets before you any failing of your neighbor, turn away from the thought at once, and if you still feel tempted to criticize, do not yield to the desire. Remember that the right to judge another is not yours, and that even if it had been entrusted to you, you would be incapable of exercising it with integrity, as you are encompassed by 1,000 passions, and but too prone to think evil of another without just cause. The most effectual remedy against this temptation is, I would remind you, the attentive consideration of your own heart, for you will hourly make fresh discoveries of the amount of work you have to do in yourself and for yourself, which will leave you neither the leisure nor the inclination to busy yourself about the conduct of others. Moreover, by the faithful performance of this exercise of self-inspection, you will more and more purge your inward eye of those bad humors which foster this pestilent vice of rash judgment. Know this too, that when uncharitably you think you see an evil in your brother, some root of the same evil is in your own heart, which, in proportion as it is ill-disposed, readily sees in another that which is already in itself. When, therefore, we are inclined to judge others for some fault, let us inwardly be indignant with ourselves as guilty of the same, and say in our heart, "How dare I, wretched being, buried in this very fault myself, and in far more grievous ones, lift up my head to see and judge the faults of others?" And thus the weapons which, when aimed at others, would have wounded you yourself, being used against yourself, bring healing to your wounds. But if you cannot disguise the fact that your brother has committed a fault, yet take a compassionate view of it, and believe that he has hidden virtues, to guard which the Lord has permitted him to fall, or that this failing is allowed to cling to him for a time, that he may become more vile in his own sight, or that being despised by others, he may learn to humble himself, and thus become more pleasing to God, and so his gain at last may become greater than his loss. If again the sin be not only unmistakable, but grievous, and obstinately persisted in, turn your thoughts to the secret and awful judgments of God, and see how many, once most wicked, attained at last to an eminent degree of sanctity, whilst, on the other hand, many who seem to have reached sublime heights of perfection have fallen headlong into misery. Therefore, ever fear and tremble for yourself more than for any other. And be assured that every good and kindly feeling towards your neighbor is the work of the Holy Spirit, and that all disparagement, rash judgment, and bitterness against him owe their origin to the evil that is in ourselves and to the suggestions of the devil. If then the failings of another have made an impression on you, rest not nor sleep until you have, to the utmost of your power, effaced it from your heart.